The following program is produced by the Tech Talk Radio Network.
This is Danny Trejo, and you're listening to Tech Talk Radio. And you better keep listening or I'll come looking for you.
Welcome to another episode of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeird.
Justin is out this week. He had like a server issue going on.
Yeah, network storage. It sounds like he was having an issue with that. And it sounds like it was at work.
Yeah.
So I know that our SAN at work is somewhere close to like almost a 1.5 petabytes, I think, in total storage.
Now, how much is that? Like, so most people nowadays, we think of, okay, you got a 1 terabyte hard drive. That's good. How much?
1 petabyte is 1,000 terabytes.
Oh, my Lord. Wow. That's just for one division. That's not for the...
No. That's athletics. I mean, it's a lot. It's not just Nerdative Studios, right? It covers a lot of people. It's like 19 or 20 different clients that we serve. So but athletics is our primary, right? Because they have content that goes back into the 1900s, right?
Yeah.
So they've got all their archive footage on there, and that every game they shoot, every athletic game they shoot, all of their raw content goes on the SAN.
Think about it though. I mean, that's just one organization. If you took all the organizations just in the United States, of how much storage is being used, how much data?
When Uber had their internal data leaked,
right?
Just their Gmail storage. So I'm assuming that's internal email and internal Gmail storage.
Yeah,
297 petabytes.
Wow, that's just amazing.
Their Gmail suite. So that doesn't include whatever other storage they may have for other projects and stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's absurd the amount of data that exists in the cloud in data farms you can't think how much. It's unimaginable. There's so much.
Would you say that though, one of the problems that we have right now as a society for some of us is data hoarding? Where, I mean, we see the show Hoarders, where people, you know, collect newspapers and they stack them and they keep them.
Should I dig out the 15 or 16 hard drives I've got in the back that have stuff dating all the way back to when I was in high school?
Exactly. But why destroy it? Then you don't have to worry about that data as long as you have your backups. But we tend to like, we take a 500 gigabyte hard drive, right? And then we buy a 1 terabyte backup drive and we copy that 500 gigabytes onto that 1 terabyte. And then we fill that up and we go to a 2 terabyte drive, but we never delete the stuff off the older drives.
There is a campaign on the internet. And if you're familiar with data hoarding, like I am, archive.org or the Wayback Machine, right? If you want to see what a website looked like in 2002, you can go to the Wayback Machine and they have cached images of websites as far back as the beginning of the internet. People have been saving the internet as it was back then, right? So there's a new website that just launched, part of archive.org, but it's called Diskmaster, diskmaster.textfiles.com. And it's an experimental website to browse and search vintage computer files from archive.org. You can go back in and find images, texts, executables, archives, audio, games, documents, fonts, music, videos, all sorts of stuff. If you are trying to think of something that you maybe saw on the internet 20 years ago, bet you can find it.
Wow. You know what? And I have used the archive.org when I had somebody that came to me to do some work on their website because their web guy disappeared, which happens sometimes. All of a sudden the person decides, I don't want to do webs anymore, and leaves and no forwarding address, nothing. And this happened and they had a problem with one of their pages and they were like, they had no access to a backup or nothing like that. And I actually was able to use archive.org to go back to an image that was available for a few years ago and find that page that had the data, the basic layout, what info was on it, and was able to kind of save that. But that's a great website. If you've never checked that out, you just go on there and you use the Wayback Machine. You could type in, KGVY. You could do that. You could do Tech Talk Radio. Any website you could think of.
You could look at Amazon. You could look at eBay.
Yeah. I mean,
everybody remembers what eBay looked like originally, right? It was compared to what it looks like now, it looked terrible.
It was pretty difficult, right?
Web design in the early 2000s was garbage.
Oh, yeah. Everybody was using FrontPage. I mean, you had the really good people who knew what they were doing that did web stuff via Notepad, who could write code, you know, on their own. But most people that were just getting into it relied on Microsoft FrontPage, or there was Dreamweaver.
I built a website in GeoCities.
Did you really?
Right? Oh, yeah.
I had no idea.
It kind of makes sense because where my career ended up, right? But I built a news GeoCities website where I ripped the headlines from CNN every day. And the images and everything, and remade headlines on my GeoCities page for like a month.
You didn't get permission to do this. You were just doing it.
No, absolutely not. I just clipped them, put them in MS Paint, saved them as JPEGs, uploaded them. It was terrible. It looked garbage. It looked awful. Man, did I have fun doing it.
Now, did you get visitors that would coming back?
I had a visitor counter on there. I don't know. It probably didn't even work.
Yeah. When we first started hosting, we hosted with a company that, we hosted with GTE first, you know, the phone company. And we had a very basic one page for the show when it was Tech Talk with Mike and Andy. And then once we realized that we were coming out to Tucson and we're going to do the show out here, and we gave the show a new name because Mike and Bill weren't going to be able to be participating. We went Tech Talk Radio, and we went with a company called Blueberry Hill. Craig Campbell in the Valley, in the Coachella Valley, was great and helped us set it up and everything. Then we switched to Interland because Interland gave us a really great deal, and they actually partnered with us. So we didn't pay for our domain and website and all that stuff. And it was so easy to do. But again, it was front page back then. And it wasn't until I started learning about Dreamweaver that, hey, while front page offered its benefits, it had so much code that was a part of it that was a real mess. And, you know, we have stuck with it. And we have a WordPress site for us. And I've started it. And then I always get pulled away to do something else. And I've never gone back and finished it. And one day I keep saying I'm going to do it because HTML is great. I love it. You know, you could do what you need to do with it. But honestly, for the ease of all of us, like for Sean, I know you could actually do some stuff with WordPress. Justin could. We could all do some stuff with it. And it would be easier to manage. But it just haven't been able to make it happen yet. And did you ever dabble with, have you dabbled yet with WordPress?
I've played around. So I built a WordPress site for when we got married.
Did you really? Like for an announcement?
For our wedding website. Mm-hmm. I have a friend of mine, as his wedding gift to me, helped me design and build a website.
Mm.
And it had picture. I mean, it was actually a really impressive website for a wedding website. And it turned out really great. And it was all done via WordPress.
Right.
And interactive map and interactive, you could see where our reception was going to be, interactive pictures, and it automatically uploaded. Like, we had a Snapchat filter for our wedding, and it would pull the snap. Like, if you snapped with our hashtag, it would pull those and put those on the website. If you tagged us in pictures on any social media, Facebook, Twitter, those things with our hashtag, it would rip those and put them on there too. My friend did a really cool job in putting it together. So that was really my only WordPress dabbling, and that was 5 years ago already.
Well, a lot of the providers, whether it be GoDaddy, HostGator, or some of the other ones that are out there, they're providing now templates that you could build your own website, you know, or you could pay them a few bucks and they'll have a web designer do it. So, I mean, you don't even need to have yourself a presence on the web. You don't even need to be a designer. You can buy Envato is one of those. You could go in there, you could find themes. You could find ThemeForest, you could find buy those, and basically boilerplate your website and create one for what you want to do. And whether it's a wedding photographer or a caterer, you sell widgets, you know, you do services like landscape even. There's kids that go around that do, you know, mowing the lawn. They're like 15, 16, they got their own website. And they, you know, they use a service like that. There's also another great one to look at if you're ever thinking about doing this is Divi. Divi themes are from Elegant Themes, are phenomenal. You pay a one flat fee, I think it's $80 a year, and you get access to all these different themes. that you can actually use on a wide variety of websites. So if you're like some people and you have like five or six websites, you get elegant themes and you can, you know, say, oh, I want to have that theme and install it on your server that maybe you've got through one of the hosting providers, and you can build your site. It's a piece of cake. Super easy to do. So yeah, it's something to think about. I know we got into website stuff, but it's a lot of fun. So if you ever want to try it, you know, take a look at it. Just start playing around with it. WordPress is the easiest way to do it, though. It really is.
And you'll never have the worst looking website, because somebody else will already have a terrible looking website.
There used to be a website out there, and I'm trying to remember what the URL was, but it was considered the worst website. And I think they called it the world's worst website. The www, you know, and that's exactly what it was. And they used every bad theme, every bad font, every bad picture image, every bad, you know, add-on that was out there to make this website just absolutely terrible. And funny enough, I remember looking one day and it was like, oh, it's better looking than my website.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kids can make really great websites now. So
yeah. Definitely. All right. So last time we talked, you were excited because Overwatch 2 was just getting ready to be launched. Overwatch 1 had gone away. But there was a bit of a line and a bit of a problem. Yeah. So
Overwatch 2, day one had 25 million players play it.
And this is the first day?
Day one.
Right. Day one.
25 million.
Wow.
So there was a bit of a bottleneck, if you will.
Yeah.
They had login errors, game errors. You'd get into a game and then you just get booted for no reason and you're back to the back of the line.
Now, did they face a denial of service attack? Because some were saying that there was a DDoS going on.
They suffered a DDoS attack, which any major game company at this point in time on a major release is going to have some sort of DDoS issue, right? It's just the nature of the business. It's a predatory attack against who knows, right? Could be anybody doing it, but nothing worse than having a bad first launch, right? So, but it's to be expected at this point. Any major game launch these days, you never expect to play day one, right? You never expect to play the day, the moment the servers go live.
So you got online planning to wait in line, basically, is what it was.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I anticipated that I would wait to play. I think I queued in and then started playing World of Warcraft or something else or left my computer, and it was like 2 hours until I got logged in.
Right.
And then we all got the error, your friend is playing a different version of the game, meaning by the time I logged in, my other friend who logged in had gotten a patch because they had fixed something.
While you guys were playing, they issued a patch. Wow.
Because we're on different versions of the game, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, your friends list weren't showing up. And some other weird things were happening. And, you know, they're doing this new thing with the battle pass where heroes are going to be locked behind the battle pass, meaning you have to progress in the game to unlock certain heroes. Well, then they had a weird glitch where it locked almost all of your characters, even if you had paid and bought Overwatch 1. Like, you couldn't play it with, like, 3/4 of the characters you had anyways. So it made for an interesting day or two of playing because they had this major issue where all these characters were locked, but not for everybody.
Right.
So it was weird. Overwatch, it's a great game. They changed a lot. It's a lot of fun. And if you liked Overwatch 1, you're going to like Overwatch 2. It's a lot of fun. It's a first person shooter. It's a fantasy first person shooter.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a very competitive game. It's a very fast paced first person shooter. And, I don't know. I've been playing it since it was in beta back in 2016. And I've enjoyed it significantly, and I follow the Overwatch League and a couple of other streamers that play. And I've put in 600 or 700 hours in the game total probably since it's launched. So I'm not by any means a super player, but I enjoy playing. So
now there was a story that came out like the next day. We heard about the DDoS attack. We heard about the number of people. Not that I didn't hear that many people, but people that were not able to get in, but also about a problem with in-game purchases. Now, whereas Overwatch 1 was a subscription game, you would pay for it.
You bought the game for $29.99.
Yeah. Yeah, not a subscription, but a cost, a total cost. This one, though, the game is actually free. However, there are in-game purchases.
It's free to play, and you can spend real-life money to buy coins, which will allow you to unlock skins for your characters or emotes for your characters or voice lines or weapon skins or weapon charms. It's pay to win type stuff, and this type of monetization drives me nuts.
Yeah. Well, we see it everywhere. Mobile games, that's how they basically make their games for free, and you play them. And sometimes, you know, when you're not playing against somebody like you are in Overwatch 2, what they do is they turn the AI up, and they'll have that AI going, so the game knows, play this move, and this person won't be able to complete it without having to buy an extra credit. And I've seen that with Toon Blast, which you don't know how many times I have come close to just uninstalling the game, because it used to be fun, but now they've got it to the point where they'll get you down to one move and nope, can't do it. There's no way to do it without having to spend the money. And then I think, no, wait. And I end up playing it. And I just keep calling myself a sucker, because honestly, the best thing to do in that case is just to remove the game. Yeah.
Yeah. This is just me, right? Give me a game for $60.
Mm-hmm.
And I will play the game.
Yeah.
Give me a free to play game, and if I enjoy it, I will spend approximately $60 on things to enjoy the game. If I enjoy the game, I'm willing to spend the money for entertainment. But don't lock things that, like, don't force me to grind things out in the game to unlock certain things when somebody can just drop money on it and get it for much cheaper and less time.
Exactly.
Like, it's a hard thing to it. Nobody's right. Nobody's wrong. People want to make money, but it's sometimes it's predatory in the way they market these things, and they put things behind paywalls and things like that. So,
there was a story recently, Sean, and I kind of wonder about this one, that, people at Sony were saying that, you know, when it comes to games, I remember when games first came out, it was 1995. You wanted to buy like Need for Speed or whatever, you would spend about $20 and you'd get a game and you could just keep playing it. You didn't pay extra. And then over the years, we've seen that price go up. And, you know, as Justin had mentioned, you know, before, a kind of a class A game is going to cost you about $50. Now they're saying it's going to go up. We're going to see the price of those games, $65, $70, $75. Do you think that model of the free game where people may be paying extra is going to be the way we're going to go in the future? Or are people going to say, you know, I'll pay $70 to play this game so I can own it and then have it? Or are we looking at those subscriptions from Game Pass and the others that are going to be having these subscription models to play games, is that going to be the way of the future?
The subscription model is going to be the way of the future. You're going to pay a monthly fee and have access to a library of games, right? And it's just like Game Pass or anything. But here's my thought on this. The internet is a service. You pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Until you can't, or until it goes away, right? So what happens to your game library that you've been paying $20 a month for, and now all of a sudden your internet's out,
goes away?
What you don't own any of those games. Your subscription fee is a license to those games. You are paying a perpetual license. You know, it's not even perpetual. They can take it away from you at any time, right? Game Pass games come and go, right? I wanted to play Dirt 2 Rally Racing on my Xbox not that long ago. Went to fire up my Xbox and it's like, you don't have this content installed. I'm like, what do you mean? Oh, it's not on Game Pass anymore. Okay. So what happens if, you know, there's a natural disaster, a hurricane, and you're out of power for a week, 2 weeks, right? No internet. What are you going to do?
You can't play your games.
Pop the disc in your digital only Xbox and play the game?
No.
I don't think that this will happen, but there's going to be some sort of, I don't know if it's going to be a niche hobby where you're finding less and less vendors are providing physical copies of things.
Yeah. Same with the DVD world, too, if you think about it. I mean, when it comes to movies.
The last physical copy of World of Warcraft I bought was probably Wrath of the Lich King, because it's all been digital copies since then. I've been able to just download, pay $49.99 and download it. I don't own a physical copy of the game. I don't own the DVDs. I don't own the drives. I don't, you know, I can't install it without an internet connection. So what, like, you know, what happened? You talk about data hoarding. You have people that are hoarding stuff because one day the internet's not going to be available.
Yeah.
And people are going to want content. And this is, I mean, we could talk circles around piracy, right? Yeah. And why people do it.
Well, but, and I think, so when it comes to that too, the idea, you go out and you spend, you know, 15, 20 bucks on a movie, like a DVD. Why can't you take that and digitize that and have it on a storage device and put your DVD away? Because they are concerned that you're going to take that DVD and sell it and still have the movie. Yeah. I mean, basically, when you sell that DVD, you're supposed to delete if you've made a digital copy, you know, you're supposed to delete it. People are not going to do that.
Right. So you have the whole DMCA Act and all this stuff, right? But it's a gray area. Like, do you own it or don't you?
Right.
And what are your legal rights when you own it? Yeah, if I digitize it, do I own that digital copy? Right. And there's been no clear answer for that. And a lot of it is pushback from, you know, the big media conglomerates, if you will. Right. They're piracy and the Pirate Bay and, you know, all this. It's, you know, I've digitized most of my DVD collection.
Yeah, I've done a lot of mine, too,
because, you know, I don't want to have to come downstairs, pick a DVD, put it in the player, hit play, track down the remote, turn it on, make sure it's connected to my TV. I can just go to my Plex server and there's my entire DVD collection.
And you can watch it on your smartphone.
I still have all the DVDs. I have a shelf of DVDs just off screen, right?
Exactly. It's like
Blu-rays. I've burned all my Blu-rays. Like,
but there you go. You can watch it on your smartphone when you're at work. You say, oh, I want to see Lost in America, or I want to see, you know, Rudy. Sorry.
Yeah,
had to break up Rudy.
I don't think I own that movie. I don't think it exists on my Plex server. I watch it enough. And I hear the music all the time at work. Oh my gosh,
do you really? I love that score, though.
It's a good score, but
yeah.
So our offices are connected to the concourse in the stadium. And when you walk around to get lunch at the student center, or it's always playing.
You are kidding me. I had no idea.
Especially for leading up to game days, like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, leading up to game days, it's always playing the music in the concourse.
Oh boy.
The Rudy. Yeah, it's the Rudy theme.
I love Rudy.
I had never seen Rudy.
Right.
Until I had, so I started at Notre Dame in the spring of 2018.
Yeah.
That fall, when students came back to campus, every year they watch Rudy in the stadium on the big video board, starting in 2017 when they first put the video board in.
Wow.
I had to run that event. I was the engineer for that event. Like, I had to make sure the video played on the video board and the audio went to the TA.
You got your overload of Rudy.
And so I had to watch it. I sat in the bowl at the stadium and watched Rudy on the big video jumbotron.
That is awesome. You got your overfill of Rudy. All right,
I've done it every year since.
We're going to take a quick break. We come back. There's more tech news. Got a really cool deal I want to tell you about from a company called VidGo. And if you want to look them up, that's VIDGO.com. We'll tell you about when we come back. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWitt, and we'll tell you what you can get from Uber.
From Uber? Uber? They got something?
Uber.
All right, we'll find that out too. That's coming up with Tech Talk Radio.
Now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Before the break, we were talking about a special deal that is happening from VidGo, and it's part of a deal that's being done through Curaçao. Now, I don't know, Sean, do you have Curaçao's there?
I have no idea what that is.
Okay,
so no.
It makes sense because Curaçao is Curaçao, is considered to be the largest Hispanic-serving retailer on the West Coast. And you're quite a ways off from the West Coast, aren't you?
A little bit, yeah.
But what they're doing is neat. And it's good because that was able to give me a little chance to find out what VidGo is all about. They're doing a special deal that you get into Curacao, which we do have here in Tucson, and you could pick up a streaming device or maybe even a TV, and they'll hook you up with a no contract, free for 3 months, VidGo premium service. And what VidGo is doing, and I think we're going to see a lot more of this. I don't know your thoughts about this. And I was talking to Andrew from the company. We were talking about, you know, the different aspects of streaming your television services, because now you've got, you know, yeah, sure, you've got Cox, you've got Xfinity, you've got many other services that provide, you know, channels like TLC, HGTV, National Geographic and the whole bit. But people are saying, you know what, I just want to do it all on the internet. And what VidGo does is basically that. They offer the ability for you to watch through their different packages, basic television. I mean, you can watch premium television and watch some of your favorite channels. They have a premium package that normally runs $79.95 a month. They have live sports, news, local shows, 20 hours of free DVR, which is cool because some people have said, well, I don't want to do that because then I lose my DVR. You get 150 live channels on demand and that DVR. They have a plus package, which is 110 live channels on demand for $59.95. And then their VidGo package, which is 45 channels on demand with $39.95. Now you need to have internet, high speed internet, but you can basically eliminate that entertainment package that would be coming from a provider and go with this. Now YouTube does it, Hulu does it, Sling does it. And they're just, they're another game in town that has many different cable offerings. And if you want to see the different channels that are available, you go to VidGo, VidGo.com. Now, you did this for your parents, right? That they were doing Hulu, or was it YouTube?
So my in-laws wanted to get rid of Charter because they were paying like $120 a month for cable, TV, internet.
Right.
And I said, we can get you down. Charter up in Ludington has their lowest, you can pay like 15 or 20 bucks a month for 10 meg up, 10 meg down or something. It's really stupid. It's really cheap.
Yeah.
Basic internet, you don't need much. And so we knocked them down to the lowest tier there. And then we got them YouTube TV for $49.99 a month at the time. And so we took their bill from $120 down to like 75 or 80 bucks.
And
they had everything they needed,
right?
And more, really.
Now, do they get DVR with that, Sean?
Yeah, you can record shows,
right?
You can record series and things like that. And then it wasn't much longer after they did that that YouTube TV said, "Yeah, we're sticking you out on the locals."
Oh.
They said we're not paying for certain local providers.
Right.
So now all of a sudden, if you had YouTube TV, you couldn't watch your local TV channels anymore. Just like Dish and DirecTV did with your local channels to re-air them on their channels, they want to charge a fee for that bandwidth, that space, right? And then what's fair? Well, what's fair for free TV?
Yeah.
So things get worked out. Eventually they got it back, but for a period of time they couldn't watch their local channels. Well, we also use their YouTube TV down here because you can have multiple logins.
Right.
So we ran into the issue where our local TV channels were Northern Michigan because they were based on the account, not your IP.
Ah.
So we couldn't actually get our local channels down here in South Bend. But then they changed it to that it went off your IP. So then we were able to get our local channels, our ABC, Fox, CBS, NBC affiliates down here.
Yeah.
We have an antenna on our house, obviously, but it's easier just to use YouTube TV to watch instead of using the live TV option, right? It's just easier because it's all integrated with everything else.
Yeah, you don't have to change the input on your remote And sometimes that can be difficult for, you know, some people who are not that tech savvy to go, okay, to change it to your antenna, you go input and find the input, or depending on your television too.
Yeah, we wanted to make it really simple for my in-laws to turn the TV on, get their local channels, but also be able to watch, you know, their other cable news channels or their other Hallmark channels, or, you know, because my mother-in-law loves her Hallmark movies probably just as much as you do.
Had to throw that in there, didn't you?
I did. You always, okay, don't get me wrong. There is a Hallmark series that I really, really enjoy, and I haven't watched all of it, so don't spoil it for me if you've seen it.
All right.
I really liked When Calls the Heart.
I hear that's really good. I haven't seen it.
It's a great show.
Yeah.
I loved it. So I haven't seen all of it, so don't spoil it for me.
Right.
No spoilers. So, but it's good. It's cheesy, but it's good.
That's Hallmark, but I like them. Their new holiday themes just started yesterday, as a matter of fact. You know, they launched their holiday movies. It's 40 brand new movies. One of them is, the first one was called Noel. Noel Next Door. Yeah, that's what it is. Noel Next Door. And it's got a grumpy neighbor. And you know they're going to fall in love. And it's a story about the holidays and the whole bit. But yeah, I do like those.
40 new holiday movies that are the same rehash of the 40 movies they did last year. Just with different names and different outfits.
It's going to be different this year because a lot of the cast members from those movies, and I know we're sidetracking here, but a lot of the cast members from those movies have left and gone to GAC, which is, it's a new channel that's launched up. And I mean, some of the big names, you know, the girl who played Winnie on Wonder Years, I can't remember her name. She's a math genius. She's gone over there. So we're not going to see some of those same cast members in these holiday movies that we did maybe last year. Because
you
a lot
might see,
of them.
I mean, my understanding is that there's a lot of YouTube influencers and TikTok stars that are acting in these movies.
It's bizarre.
To get those, it's weird because they have no, don't get me wrong. I've seen a couple snippets of these and these influencers, these TikTokers, they have all they know how to do is create content on their smartphones. They've never acted in front of a big camera before. So some of it's bad.
Yeah. It's going to be rough. We'll see. We'll see how they play out. I still will watch them because I like them. But yeah, it's kind of interesting. But you know, for the antenna, and then the nice thing about VidGo, and talking with Andrew earlier today about the service and what they offer and how they work, is that they have the ability to do exactly what you said. They can find out what your area is, geolocate, and then provide those local channels for you based on where you're at. So if you get like Fox 11, you get, you know, KOLD or KGUN or any of those channels, you'll still be able to get those, at least as part of their service, at least what they're offering. I also like the fact you can watch it up onto three devices at once. So you got a big screen TV, you want to be able to watch your stuff, no problem. You could do that. You go to work, you want to suddenly pull up something on your tablet, which we'll get to in a little bit about brand new tablets, you're going to be able to do that. So again, it's some neat stuff. Take a look at their website, again, vidgo.com. You know, they even have a special deal where you can actually try it out. So if you want to give it a shot and just see, hey, you know, let me turn off the cable box. Let me see if I do this via the internet. How is this going to work? Now, one thing you definitely want to check, and I don't know, Sean, if you ran into this, is caps, data caps. Because if you're going to be watching a movie, and then you're going to be watching a show, you're going to be watching this and this, and you're continuing to stream all of this content, you're going to be chewing up some data. So you might want to make sure you don't have like a 5 gigabyte data cap on your internet, because that could get pricey.
We didn't know that we had a data cap. Or supposedly unlimited, right? But unlimited is not really unlimited, right?
No.
They'll say it's unlimited, but if you go and look at the fine details, it's like 1 terabyte.
Right.
So when Max was born and Caitlin was off for 12 weeks and I was off for 4 weeks, we streamed a lot of content. And we went from using like 250 gig a month to almost 1.5 terabytes of data because we were streaming almost nonstop, right? Oh, wow. Yeah. We're watching a movie. We're streaming.
Be 2 in the morning. You're with the baby watching.
We're streaming music. And then I hand it off to Caitlin. She's streaming a show all day long for 12 weeks, right? We just ate up data. It was crazy. Like, you would have thought something was wrong with our internet. Like, we were just leaking data somewhere.
Yeah.
Because it went from, I mean, we were averaging probably 300 gigs a month. About, and then all of a sudden it was just shot up, and they emailed us like, you used your one free pass on your overcap, and we're like, didn't even know we had a cap.
Yeah. I thought it was paying for unlimited.
But like, I mean, you think about it, right? They're announcing, right, in Kansas City, the new Google stuff, right? They're announcing 8 gig fiber, right?
Right.
8 gig up, 8 gig down. That's insane. Do you want to talk about me eating up 1 terabyte of data on a 50 meg down?
Yeah.
That would eat up in 2 seconds on an 8 gig network. But Justin's got 1.1 gig down or whatever he had.
Yeah, he's on fiber.
And 900 meg up. Like, that's absurd. So
do you think when Elon finally does, Starlink everywhere, or when Google Fiber kind of gets everywhere, if they're still doing that, will it change the game when it comes to people then suddenly just saying to the cable companies that are providing the entertainment, now you can get it via streaming, then your internet is going to be in a different type of package, maybe even a little cheaper. I mean,
it's always going to be changing, right? Because you never know what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
Because now, Starlink just announced Starlink Aviation, right? So planes are going to have Starlink on them.
Yep.
And they're claiming that it can deliver up to 350 meg to a flying plane.
Wow.
So that's enough to do 20 millisecond latency. That's enough to do gaming, VPNs, streaming, anything. So, I mean...
But I kind of wonder, if say they're offering and people start taking these services in their home. So yeah, I'll get it. And I mean, I don't think we're going to run into those. I don't know. Are we going to run into those issues where they have data caps? Because,
you get told there's this theoretical limit on data speeds,
mm-hmm.
yet they keep crushing it. And your 100 gig data limit is now absurd. Like, if you went to somebody and they said you had 100 gig a month data limit, you're going to laugh.
Well, I do know Comcast this past week announced that they were actually opening up their bandwidth up and down. They were going to raise it even more. So it was going to be more available for you to get the higher speeds up and down. But again, if they're putting data caps on stuff, because with those higher speeds, now you can watch a movie and not think about it in 4K. But it's going to cost you.
Right. So you just got to be careful, because you just got to know, do you have a data cap or not? And what is it? Right. I have a friend who's got my brother who's got 4 kids at home. Right. They're all streaming something.
Yep.
Right. Their 4 kids are 10 and older. Right. Each of them has a Switch or a 3DS or a TV in their room that's streaming a smart stick or something. Right. That's just a ton of content.
Each household going to go through a lot. And we saw a lot at the beginning of the pandemic as well that people weren't used to, because suddenly all of this bandwidth was flying through their house from kids that were doing, work at home or work school at home,
Right. And you have to look at it like this, right? All these companies are saying, oh, we can't give you that much bandwidth. We can't. Oh, wait, everybody has to work from home. I guess it's okay.
Yeah, makes you wonder.
I guess the infrastructure is there to support all this extra bandwidth. I guess it's okay. I guess we didn't just have that behind the magic curtain this whole time, and it was available. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Well, all right, we got to take another quick break. We come back, though. I do want to remind you, take a look at VidGo, VIDGO.com. We're going to see if we can get them on the show in the next few weeks, maybe talk about their service and how that works for you, and if you want to try a free trial of that, you'll find that all there on their website. And let us know what you think about it. We'll be back with more of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeird. Find us on the web at techtalkradio.com.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
So So we've been talking about streaming most of this episode, right? So Netflix just announced, everybody's been talking about it, right? Netflix said, we're testing ads in our videos for a cheaper price.
Oh, that's right. Because their prices have been going up, haven't they?
Yeah, it's like almost $20 a month now for Netflix. When I started Netflix back when I was in college and I would get 2 DVDs a month in the mail.
Yes.
It was like $6.99.
Yeah.
And then it went up because I wanted to add streaming. So I could get 2 DVDs a month plus streaming for $12.99.
And then it kept going up.
Then I didn't want the DVDs anymore, but it didn't drop my price. And then it went up because, now you get HD.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, Netflix with ads, right? Hulu's got it. You can pay X amount of dollars for Hulu with ads. You can do Hulu for free with ads too, right?
Yeah.
So
you don't get some of that. But the thing with the Hulu one, Sean, you don't get some of the premium content like the movies.
Correct. So I'm going to just cover the Netflix basic plans right now. This is on their website, netflix.com. Basic with ads starting November of 2022, so soon. Watch on one supported device at a time.
Hmm.
You can only watch on one device at a time. So like if you're watching a show upstairs and Gloria is watching a show downstairs, not going to happen.
Wow.
Not with this plan. Watch it HD, check mark.
Right.
Basic with ads, $6.99 a month.
Well, that's not bad. You know, for a senior that wants to have this capability, that's maybe watching it, you know, in their home and it's just them, maybe that's there at the house watching it. That might be an alternative for them.
Basic. So basic without ads. Watch on one supported device at a time.
How much?
Unlimited TV shows, watching HD, ad-free TV shows, and you can download onto that one device.
Right.
$9.99 a month.
Okay.
Okay, and then you have your standard. Watch on two supported devices at a time. Unlimited, full HD, so that's up to 1080p.
Right.
Ad-free, download on those two devices. You can download the content and watch it offline. $15.49 a month.
Mm, wow. That's getting
premium. Premium. So I think my price is even going to go up now because this is what we have as premium. 4 supported devices at a time. So you can do 4 devices at a time.
Right.
Unlimited movies and whatever. Ultra HD, so that's 4K. Download on those 4 devices, $20 a month, $19.99 a month.
Yeah. That's expensive.
Netflix, and they say at the bottom, Netflix streaming plans do not include DVDs.
Do they actually say that on their website?
Sign up for a DVD plan. How much is a DVD plan?
Wow.
Can you even sign up for a DVD
plan? I didn't know you could still even do that.
If you are not yet a Netflix member and would like to sign up for a DVD-only plan, go to dvd.netflix.com.
Just go to Redbox.
How much is it? I want to see. How much is it?
You kidding me?
DVD.netflix.com. I have to sign up for a whole other account. Tell me how much it costs.
It's not telling you.
Plans. Here we go.
All right.
One disc at a time.
Wow.
Unlimited. You can get any number per month, but only one at a time.
Yeah.
$9.99.
For one?
For one at a time.
$9.99 a month.
Two at a time. Two DVDs out at a time. Oh, you can get Blu-rays too.
Yeah.
$14.99.
No. No, you're better off.
So you must have to be something.
Well, you know, I was just going to say, there are some people, Sean, that don't have the internet.
That's true.
They just have a DVD player. But then I'm thinking, well, how do you get the movies? You have to order them online.
Right. Yeah. How do you get? Yeah. Right. So.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people don't know this, but you can go to your public library and you can get movies at your public library.
Oh, yeah. Our public library has a great movie collection.
Yeah. The one here in Green Valley, I know, has some movies.
They have pop culture movies. I mean, they have current movies.
Yeah.
The only problem is a lot of public libraries have a problem with theft.
Yeah.
So you rent a movie and then it comes back and it's a paper insert instead of the disc, right? So he prints out the label and comes back.
The other one is Canopy. You've heard of Canopy, right? If you've got a library card, and I bet you this would be available to a university member. But if you've got a library card or a university card, college, whatnot, you can go to Canopy, K-A-N-O-P-Y, And you can actually stream movies that are maybe not available on Hulu or Netflix or Amazon Prime even. You may find them on Canopy. And you can get a free account, and it's basically paid for and supported by your local public library. And you don't rent the movie at the library. You actually digitally can watch that movie on your devices. And, you know, I just found out about Canopy recently, and I thought, well, that's kind of a cool thing. But, yeah, you can find them online if you want to get more info about that. And if you've got a library card, you may be good to go with that. Now, speaking of ways to watch movies, Sean, Apple, of course, this past week made their announcement, and some were thinking, okay, it was going to be maybe more next week. Next week is the big annual report they're going to be doing, you know, their earnings report. And right now it's looking a little tough because of iPhone 14 production. But they're going to be cutting the production on the iPhone 14, and that's kind of sad. But not completely, just cutting it down. But what they're saying is that the new iPad Pro is going to feature the M2 processor, and a lot of people are happy about that. But some of the reports that have come out about the iPad Pro are saying that it's not that much of a big deal of a difference for them to announce this and put it out, that people aren't going to notice. But what I'm hearing some reports saying a 20% increase in speed versus the previous iPad model, or a 10% increase, depending on who you talk to.
I will say my mom has a iPad Pro from, I think it's the early M1.
Right.
Man, that thing is awesome.
You like it, right?
Fast. She loves it. I anticipate that if she's looking to upgrade, that she will.
The cost was not too outrageous, but it's still, you know, you people will look at it and go, okay, could I get the iPad Pro or I could get a tablet. And let's face it, you could still go somewhere and buy a tablet for, you know, under $100 versus this. But you've got that iPad infrastructure and all the tools that are available, the ability to write with a stylus on there. And they've got this new stylus that you can basically hover it over the screen and it will pick up what you want to do. And my daughter basically draws and does these pretty great illustrations using her iPad, and they come out great. And I could never do that. Number one, I'm not artistic at all, but the iPad gives you that capability versus just a regular inexpensive tablet. So there's some neat things about it.
I'm not the target audience for an iPad. Just I'm not.
Yeah.
Right. I know there's a target audience for an iPad. Otherwise they wouldn't make them. Right. So those people that want the iPads are buying them because they're good. And, you know, there are other tablet options. There are Android tablets and things like that too, but it's, you're in the, you know, Justin's not here to poo-hoo on Apple, right?
Yes.
But if you're part of an ecosystem, it's hard to, you get your creature comforts in place where you're used to a UI that looks like this. You're used to the Apple apps that look this way. So now you're kind of ingrained into that architecture. That's the whole point, right? That's the marketing scheme, right? That's get them into the ecosystem and keep them there, right? So iPad has done great things for the tablet industry, and you can't fault them for doing well, right? And they do it well. They look good. They perform well. They're fashionable, and they work, right? When was the last time you picked up an iPad that didn't do exactly what you wanted it to do for the function you were hoping it did?
Yeah, I think the last generation iPad I have is a second generation. So it's old. And I actually recently went to iFixit, and I don't know why I did it, because I can't get any more iOS updates for it. But I went ahead and I bought a battery. I bought the frame because I had dropped it once in its early years, you know, when I first started using it and it cracked part of the screen. And I went in and I bought the kit, but I don't know why, because again, I can't update the iOS, but it'll be fun to have once I decide to finally tear it apart and fix it. It'll be fun to do.
Yeah. So Caitlin and I got an iPad mini by accident once. So when we bought our iPhone 7s,
right?
They said, hey, because you bought your iPhone 7s, you guys get $250 off per line. So $500 off a new iPad.
Wow.
And we're like, whoa, this is going to be like $100 for this brand new iPad mini, Gen 2 iPad mini. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Well, then we got our bill.
Oh, not good.
No, you had to add it as a third line.
Oh, ouch. They forget to tell you that part.
They didn't tell us.
No.
So we called them up and we're like, hey, we were told that like there was no discussion that we had to sign on a new line. We didn't sign anything. And they're like, you opened it, so you're stuck with it.
Wow.
And we're like, okay, then at the end of this month, we're canceling this line. And they're like, well, it's a 2-year deal. So we got suckered into, that guy made his commission, right?
Yeah.
But we were kind of, we could probably could have fought it and whatever, but.
Once the 2 years ended, you said that was it.
But then we ended up traveling and using it. And then it was nice to be able to have the cellular data on it to watch movies and stuff. So we used it.
Right.
But, you know, it was kind of frustrating at the point, but we ended up using it. So we now have an iPad mini that can do cell, 3G.
Right.
But we use it in the camper. And I just connected to the Wi-Fi in my camper, and I have MB running on my Pi in the camper with all of my movies from my Plex server dumped onto it.
Nice.
So I can watch when we're traveling. If Caitlin's bored while we're driving somewhere and we don't have good cell service, or we're camping somewhere and don't have good cell service and the weather's terrible, fire up the iPad, connect to the Wi-Fi router I have in the camper. Boom. Full access to our library of content.
They can be extremely convenient, having an iPad. They really can. Now, we got to take another quick break. We come back. I'll tell you, I've been sick this week. I finally got bit by the COVID bug, and I got something in the mail. I didn't even take it out of the box. That's how sick I was. So I will tell you about that when we come back with more of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeird. Find us on Twitter at Tech Talk Radio.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
So I finally got bit by the COVID bug. After 3 years being able to avoid it, being super careful, I got a box in this week. I didn't open the box. This is how I knew I was sick. I saw it sitting on the counter, and I just kept looking at it. That box, which I will be opening up because I'm going to show it on TV next week, is the iPhone 14 Pro Max.
And you didn't open it.
I didn't even open it. I just had no I was like so out of it. There was no way I wanted to like start fumbling with this device and this phone. And, you know, it's been a long time since we worked with Apple, and Apple sent us a product to take a look at. And they sent it to us. They told me, you know, take it out, do video with it, shoot stills, test all the different features. I talked with a gentleman from Apple before I got sick about, you know, some of the cool things that it could do. So I'm excited about that. Another product that I got in, Sean, the new GoPro Hero 11 Black. Is that's what they're calling it, right?
Why is that not in the mail to me right now? You should have been sending this to Sean's address.
Sean is going to review it. Yeah.
Yes.
The only thing, okay, so you've got three different models of the GoPro, right? You've got the GoPro Mini, the GoPro 11 Black. And then you've got this GoPro, it's like I don't want to say Extreme or the Action Pack. That's the one. So I was a little surprised that I could not find HDMI out on the Hero Black. And I'm thinking because that's only available on the top end model, which is like $599.
I thought they only had the Mini and the regular 11, so I'd have to look.
Yeah, the three different ones, and I couldn't find HDMI out on that, which made me think, wow, that's kind of disappointing because I think most people want to use HDMI out. I got sick, so I couldn't shoot any video with it. I haven't been able to do that. So I'm hoping that eventually I get a chance to experience that.
And then ship it to me so I can do time lapses with it.
Oh, that would be cool, right?
I set up a time lapse for the last home game Saturday.
Right.
And I forgot about it.
It's
been running since Saturday morning.
Saturday. Oh, my Lord. So
I don't know. I don't know. I forgot about it. I was going to go get it today because it was my first day back this week at work since Saturday. And I forgot.
Now, the data, it doesn't write over itself, though, if it fills up, does it?
No, but I put in 128 gig memory card in it.
Oh, you're right? Going to, yeah.
So it's going to be 5 days of time. I'm going to put it, it's going to be 1 5-day long stretch. I'm actually going to see. I might just leave it for the rest of the week and just see if it goes all the way through the next. Because we have a home game Saturday. So I might just see if it'll do a full week.
Well, that would be cool. The buildup of that, we got to see that.
It's the whole week. So we'll see.
We got
to
see that.
If you subscribe to me on LinkedIn, or if you can go to my LinkedIn page, I've been posting a time lapse of every home game we've done this year so far. Because I've been trying to do every home game I've worked at Notre Dame since I started. So the first game I did was Michigan in 2018. And I did a bunch. I did a bunch there, and then I did a really cool week-long time lapse of the University of Pittsburgh, transition from that game to the field being converted into the Garth Brooks concert and the Garth Brooks concert.
Oh wow! You know, I just thought about this during the winter months. You're going to be able to get that transition of because you get snow there, right?
Oh yeah.
So you're going to get that transition.
As of yesterday, we've had our first measurable snowfall in the state of Indiana. It snowed here.
That's going to be cool. I want to see that. Well, that's it for this week's Tech Talk Radio. We got to remind everybody, Justin has let us know that he got himself the Google Pixel Watch, and he's going to be able to give us a review for it next week on the show. So definitely want to be tuned in. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeerd. Find us on Facebook at Tech Talkers.
Have a great week.